ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः दि ब्रह्म द लिमिट्लेस् रियालिटि द ट्रूत् आफ् द यूनिवर्स् The existence of the universe is available for recognition in one's own mind alone. So Brahman is available for recognition in one's own mind as consciousness. And consciousness, the reality, is recognizable only in association with the mind. That is, consciousness as it is, as pure consciousness, is never accessible, transactable, recognizable, but is recognizable only when it becomes manifest. And even though consciousness is of the nature of self-effulgence, still consciousness is dependent on the mind or the thoughts, the vritti parinamaha, antahkarna vrittayaha. You can use vritti parinamaha or antahkarna vrittayaha for its manifestation. And the vrittis are resolved, the manifesting medium being not there, there cannot be manifestation, and the consciousness is not manifest, it is non-recognizable, non-transactable. And here, therefore, we say, this consciousness, how is it available? Pratibodha viditam. It is recognized. Viditam here is recognized, but now in every bodha. Prati is every. In every experience, in every cognition, in every knowledge, consciousness is recognized as the chidabhasaha, manifest consciousness. Therefore, manifest consciousness and consciousness are not two different consciousnesses, are not two different separable things. We can never experience manifest consciousness without the consciousness. Now, when you are experiencing manifest consciousness, when you are experiencing the, in every experience, we are recognizing the manifest consciousness, means we are recognizing the very consciousness only. The same consciousness in the presence of the thought gets the name manifest consciousness. In the absence of the thought, consciousness remains as pure consciousness. Okay, therefore, and then what is experience? Every consciousness itself cannot make the cognition or experience. A vrittihi by itself cannot become the make the experience or cognition. So cognition or experience or knowledge is nothing but the mixture of, a combination of both consciousness and the thought, isn't it? But the thoughts are many, thoughts come and go, but consciousness is always there. But that's why it is every experience. In all the variable thoughts, in all the variable experiences, what is invariably present in every experience is, in every thought is, the invariable, the consciousness, which is the Atma, which is Brahma. This is the teaching of Adishankara. Or is the teaching of any Advaita Acharya. And here, and that he explained how this consciousness alone is what now, actually the illuminator, in the sense, illuminator means what? Conscious, the illuminator of the mind is consciousness. And this consciousness, as the illuminator of the mind, it directly illumines the mind, and indirectly through the mind it illumines the entire external world also. The illuminator, the knower, very important thing is what? The knower is only one knower. Because the minds are many, with it there are many knowers, isn't it? So the knower in every mind is the same, one and the same consciousness. There is no knower other than the consciousness. Therefore, who is the knower here? Who is the experiencer here? Even though we don't say consciousness is the knower, never say consciousness is the knower, but the knower is consciousness alone. Therefore, this knower is consciousness. How the knower means, as a knower, the knower of the mind is consciousness. The knower of the, or the knower or the illuminator of the external world also is what? The consciousness alone. Therefore, we say, but consciousness does not directly illumine the external world, but it illumines the mind directly, and through the illumined mind, through illumining the mind, it illumines the external world indirectly. Therefore, the illuminator of the mind and the external world, you can say the illuminator of the world also, even though not directly, but illuminator of the world also is none other than consciousness only. But you can never say directly. This indirect illuminator of the universe, there's no direct illuminator of the universe. Okay, we can say mind is direct illuminator of the universe, but still mind can never be said. Mind by itself is being illumined by the consciousness. The illuminator of the world is always the consciousness. Illuminator of the mind is the consciousness. But how it illumines? Directly illumines the mind, indirectly illumines the world. And indirectly illumining the world, directly illumining the mind, illuminator is consciousness. Therefore, pratibodha viditam. That much we saw first. Then the explanation of this mantra, Shankaracharya actually ends with that quotation from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which we saw. And then we moved on to the next line. And there comes the when you say illuminator of the mind, you have to understand, that's why, that through the mind alone, you know, each sense power is illumined. Therefore, the illuminator of each sense power is being the consciousness. Consciousness is said to be the what now? The eye of the eye, mind of the mind, as it is said here. That quotation is from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. With the Brihadaranyaka quotation, the Shankara's unfoldment of the meaning of the first quarter of the mantra is over. But here, instead of going to the explanation of the next part of the mantra, he wanted to present the two Purapakshas. Purapakshas means people who differ in their view, and who, you know, people of different views of the Atma. And only mainly two philosophers are taken here. And then their views are presented, and thereby they're presenting their views are refuted also here by Shankara first. Our own enhancement, our own reinforcement of the clarity, our clarity. So he says, first he takes the Bhartru Prapancha, the first Purupakshi. The Bhartru Prapancha is always the one who, everywhere, he is the one karma, jnana karma samuchayavadi. Jnana karma samuchayavadi means always says knowledge and action together serve as means of moksha. He never accepts moksha. Knowledge is the only means of moksha. He always clubs karma and jnanam together serve as a means of moksha. He is a jnana karma samuchayavadi, he is known as. And this jnana karma samuchayavadi Bhartru Prapanchaha. And his argument is presented in Shankara's Bhashyam. But Shankara does not say I am presenting his argument. But how do we know that Shankara in between presents the, the Purupaksha of Bhartru Prapancha? How do we know? With the help of the notes on Shankara's commentary by one Swami Sachidanandendra Saraswati. For example, see, here it comes. Yada onwards. Parihartum na shakyante. Till then, there is commentary. Shankara's commentary. And in that commentary, Shankara's commentary on this verse, actually, it is only presents the Bhartru Prapancha's view. And also he shows the fallacy in his view. So Shankara, the refutation, Bhartru Prapancha's view and the refutation of his view is presented in that part. He simply says that, so we cannot know, some Purupaksha has presented. Purupaksha means an objection, a different view, who do not agree with this Shankara's view. You know, this is called Purupaksha, that the one who disagrees with your view and one who states his view is the objection, isn't it? The one who makes the objection is called Purupakshaha, Purupakshi. But whose Purupaksha it is? Who is the one who really raises the objection here? Which means, who is the other person who is of different view? That name is not mentioned by Shankara here. Seeing what the view is, seeing his view here, the person on Swami Sachidanandendra Saraswati, who wrote notes on Shankara's commentary, and he mentions that this particular portion, now Shankara's commentary, this particular part of Shankara's commentary actually he discusses the Bhartru Prapancha's view. That's how we understand. And then, so what does Bhartru Prapancha say? You know, say as I told last class, it's so intense, told this. First knowing, see, in according to Vedanta, the Advaita Vedanti, knowing is not an action, it's the very nature. But according to Bhartru Prapancha, knowing is an action. And for which the reason he gives is, because the act of knowing, is also what now derived from the verb janati, and which is formed of the root, jna. So janati, janitaha, jananti, janasi, janati, janitaha, janitha, janami, janivaha, janimaha, etc. We hear this, the verbs are there. And from this verb alone, this is derived, knowing. Therefore we say what now? This is an action first. What it is, action means, who is the action, knowing is an action, and who is the knower here? Isn't it? Who is the knower? So the knower is the one who has the capacity, who has the power of knowing. But this knower actually, the Atma is to be, knower is the Atma. The knower is to be inferred. The knower has to be inferred from the act of knowing, through the act of knowing. Because the knower is apratyaksha. See, knower is not pratyaksha. Apratyaksha means knower is imperceptible. Knower Atma is imperceptible, is not available for objectification or perception, but therefore the knower has to be recognized, I mean the inferred. Only you have to infer the knower means how through the act of knowing. Therefore, pratibodha vidita means what now? Every time there is knowledge, there is act of knowing. And you infer the Atma, the knower being there. How? Because this action of knowing happens. So pratibodha, every time the knowledge arises, and that is an act of knowing, and which is possible because of the knower. And who is blessed with this capacity to know, and the power of knowing. Therefore, knower is who now? The knower is the Atma inferred to be inferred through the act of knowing. And for which he gives the example is what? He gives the example, the invisible wind is inferred through the movement of, the act of movement of the tree's branches. When the branches of the tree move, isn't it? There is a movement, there is a motion on the part of the branches of the tree. But we do not see who is the one who causes the movement of the branches. So we cannot see the wind through physical eyes. So wind is what now? Perceptible, according to him, okay? Possible, but not, it is invisible. At least wind is, you know, actually not perceptible. It is perceptible to the skin, actually. But still wind is not visible. Invisible wind is inferred through the, you know, the movement of the branches of the tree. Similarly here also, the knower, the Atma, is inferred through the act of knowing. Pratibodhaveta means every time there is a knowledge, isn't it? This which is an action, and then the knower of that action of knowing is the Atma is inferred through the act of knowing. Okay, that is his argument. Second thing, this is what we saw here. Yada punaha bodha kriya karta. According to Bhartru Prapancha, what is Atma? Bodha kriya karta. Bodha kriya, bodha eva kriya, bodha kriya. Knowing is an action. And bodha kriya karta, the one who is involved in that act of knowing, bodha kriya karta is Atma. The bodhakriya karta, how do you know bodhakriya karta Atma? Every time knowledge takes place, you infer the Atma. And bodhakriya lakshanena. Bodhakriya lakshanam means what now? So, bodhakriya karta, first Atma. Then bodhakriya lakshanam, this bodhakriya karta, this, the one who is involved in the Atma, the one who is involved in the act of knowing, don't get confused, okay? We are doing some Bhartru Prapancha's view. Don't get confused here. It is not our view. It is not our, means, it is not Adishankara's view, isn't it? The knower of the, in knower of this act of knowing, how is he inferred here? Bodhakriya lakshanena. Through that, no? Through the clue of act of knowing. So you infer something, you need a clue, isn't it? What is the clue through which you infer here? Bodhakriya is the clue. Bodhakriya lakshana means what? Bodhakriya is the clue. Bodhakriya means act of knowing. The bodhakriya, the act of knowing, is the lakshanam, is the clue. Through that clue, with the help of that clue, tat kartaram vijanati, one knows what now? The one who is involved in that act of knowing. Tat karta means what now? Bodha kriya karta. Through the clue of act of knowing, one arrives at the knower, the one who is involved in that act of knowing, which means the Atma. Iti Bodha Lakshanena Viditam. Bodha Lakshanena Viditam. Ivaru Pratibodha Viditam. Iti Vyakhyayate. Bodha Lakshanena Viditam is what? Known. Therefore, Atma is recognized as the knower. Okay, knower. Involved in the act of knowing, and whose presence is the know, that knower is inferred through that act of knowing. The no act of knowing is the clue here through which you infer the imperceptible Atma. Iti pratibodha viditam iti vyakhyayate. This is how they, it is explained, vyakhyayate means interpreted. This is how this first pratibodha viditam is, vyakhyayate is interpreted. What is interpreted here? This pratibodha viditam, this the first quarter of this mantra, this statement is interpreted. Is it clear now? By the Bhartru Prapanchaha. And for which, how this Atma, the knower, is inferred through the clue of act of knowing, for which the example is given, yatha, just as yaha. Yaha, the one who is involved in this action, which action? The action of causing the movement, chalayati. Vriksha shakaha chalayati yaha. Yaha vriksha shakaha chalayati saha vayuhu. Who is vayuhu? Who is the wind here? You know, wind you cannot see through physical eyes. But invisible wind, it has to be only inferred. Available for inference. How do you infer wind? Yaha chalayati saha vayuhu. The one who causes the movement is the wind. That is the wind. That which causes the movement is the wind. Cause the movement of which here? Vriksha shakaha. The trees, vrikshasya shakaha, vriksha shakaha. So, one who causes the movement of the, you know, movement of the trees, branches, is wind. Like that, tadvat, like that alone, you have to infer the Atma. Through what? Through the clue. What is the clue to infer the Atma? Act of knowing. So what is action? Every time experience comes, pratibodha, every time knowledge arises of any given object, in that act of knowing, who is there? Knower. Okay, finished. Tadvat, that is the Bhartru Prapancha's view. Suppose if that view is accepted, from that view, what is the corollary we have to derive, to refute that? No, the corollaries derived from Bhartru Prapancha's view, you know, actually Shankara presents now. Tada bodha kriya shaktiman atma. Then what first corollary derive? This atma is bodha kriya shaktiman atma. Shaktiman. Atma becomes what now? Bodha kriya shaktiman. One who is endowed with the power of knowing. Or one who is blessed with the, endowed with the capacity to know. Bodha Kriya Shaktihi. Bodha Kriya is a Shakti. Is it? Bodha Kriya, the act of knowing, is the capacity or the power, and one who is endowed with that Bodha Kriya Shakti, the power of the act of knowing, is the Bodha Kriya Shakti Man. Don't get confused. Don't very seriously. Only understand a different view. Then, if Atma is taken to be the Bodhakriya Shaktiman, Atma is taken to be the one who endowed with the power of act of knowing, then what happens? Dravyam, Atma becomes a substance. If you take the Atma to be something which is endowed with the power of act of knowing, Atma becomes what? The substance, dravyam. Which means, na bodhaswarupaha eva. Then Atma cannot be consciousness. If you take Atma as the one endowed with the power of the act of knowing, then Atma is not the consciousness. The Atma becomes what? Dravyam, the substance. Then what happened? Next problem, look at this. Then bodhaha tu jayate vinashyati cha. But what happens now? Knowledge rises, knowledge goes. Bodhaha jayate, bodhaha vinashyati. Isn't it? Which means every time the knowledge comes, Atma also comes. And now every time the knowledge goes, Atma also goes. Which means Atma is something which comes and goes. Atma comes and goes. This is the next corollary. So Atma is the substance. Atma is not consciousness. Atma comes and goes. Vinashyati cha. Then yada bodhaha jayate tada bodhakriyaya savisheshaha. So whenever knowledge rises, yada bodhaha kriyate jayate, whenever knowledge rises, cognition rises, tada bodhakriyaya savisheshaha. Isn't it? It is recognizable what now? Bodhakriya, through the act of knowing. Yada bodhaha nashyati. Okay, whenever the knowledge rises, then through the act of knowing, what now? Savisheshaha, Atma becomes conscious. Savisheshaha with the consciousness. Savisheshaha with the, it becomes conscious. So that whenever the knowledge rises, then Atma becomes conscious. Which means this act of knowing somehow produces the consciousness. I'll tell you, explain, don't worry. Then yada bodhaha nashyati. So whenever the knowledge does not take place, or bodhaha knowledge goes otherwise, the perishes, tada nashta bodhaha. But now, whenever knowledge goes, then losing the produced consciousness, dravya matram bhavati, becomes again matter. Which means, Atma is substance, matter. So whenever there is act of knowing, through the act of knowing conscious, it becomes conscious. And whenever the knowledge is not there, does not take place, then consciousness goes, Atma again becomes the matter. Atma is a matter which produces consciousness through the act of knowing. Whenever the act of knowing is not there, the consciousness it loses, it becomes again inert matter. This is the third corollary. Got all the points now? Yeah, remember 1, 2, 3. It is typically like what? Typically like the modern science. That is, the consciousness according to modern science is what? Is the product of the brain and through some neurological some changes, the functions. It's the same thing. Which means when you say product, it becomes what now? What do we say here? Atma is pure consciousness, which is not a part of the body, mind, sense complex, which is matter. Not a part of the matter, not the product of the matter, not even the property of the matter, isn't it? According to Bhartru Prapancha, consciousness becomes what now? The product of the matter. How it is produced? Not through the act of knowing. Consciousness becomes produced. How? Whenever there is action. Action of knowing. And who is the one who is in behind the action of knowing? The Atma. How do you infer? Only when the action, knowledge. Whenever there is action of knowing. Prati bodha viditam. Every time something becomes known, and in every act of every knowledge is what now? Every knowledge is the action of action, and that act of knowing you infer the Atma. Is it clear now? Which means now Atma is not the consciousness for them. Atma becomes the matter then, and Atma, the consciousness is something, a product of the act of knowing. No, product produced. Then therefore consciousness goes whenever act of knowing is not there. Then again Atma becomes what? Inert, because consciousness goes. Hope you all remember all this step by step. You have to remember this step by step. Then yada bodaha nashyati tada nashta bodaha. Okay, whenever the action of knowing is not there, goes, then without the act of knowing, dravya matram remains as mere substance without the consciousness, non-recognizably. When the act of knowing is not there, Atma is non-recognizable, because non-inferable. Non-inferable. Therefore, nirviseshaha. So, bodhakriya sa viseshaha, it is inferable with the consciousness. In nirviseshaha, it is non-inferable without the consciousness as a matter. Atma is therefore dravyam. Consciousness is a byproduct. It's a product. Okay. Why? Because action is a product. Okay. When you're eating, the one who eats, the eater, is the producer of the act of eating. Understand? Therefore, your Atma is what? No, Atma is the producer of the act of eating, act of knowing. Therefore, thereby what produces consciousness is a byproduct. Sometimes you think, why honestly, why should we know Bhartru Prapancha's view, you may think. But they're all, no, because it also, it's very nice to, very important to understand, to refute our own modern science. Okay, next. Now, suppose if this is Bhartru Prapancha's view, and this is the understanding, which is the outcome of this view. If this is the, okay, these are the corollaries we derive from his view, that means, what are the defects involved now? Therefore, why it is not acceptable? Why this is refutable? The refutation is presented where? Now here comes. Tatra evam sati. If this is so, tatra, okay, in that matter, evam sati. If this is so, evam sati. If it is taken this way, as Bhartrupapancha says, if you take Atma as the dravyam, okay, and which has the, which is endowed with the power of the act of knowing, therefore every time there is act of knowing, and then the knowledge rises, and you infer the Atma as the one who is involved in that act of knowing, one who is behind that act of knowing. And through that, therefore action is a product of the Atma. And action, being, whenever there is action, consciousness is produced there. And whenever the Atma, the act of knowing is not there, consciousness also goes, again Atma becomes the matter. Is it clear now? Atma becomes non-inferable, Atma becomes mere the matter again. Which means, is it clear? This is the thing. Evam sati. If it is so, the sati is sati saptami actually. Atma becomes what now? Vikriyatmakaha. If we accept this view, the Atma is what now? Atma is vikriyatmakaha. Atma is savikaraha. One who is subject to change. Atma is of, then we had Atma becomes the one which has the nature of constant change. Vikriyatmakaha means savikaraha, one who is subject to change. Atma is of the nature of changing. This becomes the, if you accept that, what do we understand? Atma is changeless. Avyayaha, nirvikaraha, we say that. But according to his view, if it is a matter, Atma is the matter, temporarily becomes conscious and loses consciousness, and inferable only through the act of knowing. Whenever there is no action, it becomes inert again, which means Atma as Dravyam is Vikriyatmakaha. You have, it's a one with the modifications and changes. Then, sa avayavaha, sa avayavaha, which means Atma is endowed with also what now? Some different, because as a product, Atma is endowed with this action, Atma is endowed with this, it is produces. Therefore, sa avayavaha means what now? It also endowed with the parts. The Atma is what now? Anityaha. Why? Every time Atma comes and goes, whenever knowledge is not there, Atma is non-inferable, isn't it? Therefore, Atma is anityaha, Atma comes and goes. Anityaha, then ashuddaha. Why ashuddaha? Matter, you know, matter, once you say Atma is matter, means it is definitely ashuddham only. It has all forms of defects, all forms of limitations come. Ashuddha also. It is all impurities also become what now? Matter only. Ended with all impurities. Ashuddha. Ityadayaha doshaha na parihartum shakyante. So, such these defects become non-eliminable on the part of Atma if we take the dravyam as the Atma as per the view of Bhartrupapancha. Atma becomes the impure, Atma becomes time bound, Atma becomes the partful, Atma becomes changing, ever subject to change. Okay, these are the defects. If these defects become non-alterable, or it is not possible to alter these change, these defects, anipata the Atma, if we take Bhartrupapancha's view, that then we take the Atma as the matter, dravyam. Or if we take the Atma as something which is inferable through the act of knowing. Taking the action, knowing as an action. Is it clear now? These defects are, one cannot, shakyante means, it is not possible to alter, to remove, you know, to take away these defects if the view of Bhartrup Atma's, the Bhartrup Prabhupada view of Atma is accepted as the one who is inferred through the act of knowing. But taking the knowing as an action, I think I made it very clear, isn't it? Very, very clear or not? Okay. With this, first thing is over. Now next comes the kānādaha. See, kānādaha is a, you know, kānāda is the name of a rishi who, the founder of that, actually that particular, the one who propounded that system, Vaisheshika philosopher. And see, because this, why this name came, this Kanada Rishihi was actually a Brahmanaha. And those days, Brahmanaha is not supposed to really earn money. He has to live his, earn money, he never really earns money. Which means, money making is not his life thing. For livelihood, what should he do then? Then there are many ways of, you know, livelihood for a Brahmana prescribed. And one of the ways is called Uncha Vrittihi. Vrittihi means thought, you know that. Vrittihi also means livelihood. Uncha Vrittihi, Uncha means collecting. Unchana means collecting. And Uncha Vrittihi means going house to house and collecting the grains, rice. They used to give. Suppose people come, we give rice, we give grains, you know, like that. So they collect the grains from different places, and then that is how then the one who lives on the grains collected, isn't it? So that means of livelihood called Unchavritti. Unchavritti. But a great philosopher, the foremost person of atomic theory. All the time he was, you know, all the time his mind was only in atom, 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 atom. It seems, even at the time of death, he was saying, it seems, Tiluhu, Tiluhu. Tiluhu means one atom, okay? Tilavaha, atoms. Very great, very great philosopher. Sorry, the philosopher, not a great person, really. But even though this view of Atma is not acceptable, but still he's not an ordinary man. Kanada. Therefore, Kanaha means actually a particular grain. Particular grain is called Kanaha. One grain is called Kanaha. So, kanan atti iti kanadaha. One who eats the grains, grain particles collected, is called kanadaha. Extra story, okay? Kanan atti iti kanadaha. One who survived on grains collected. The eater of grains called Kanadaha. Which means definitely he never ate anything which is not vegetarian. Okay. Now Kanadanam
Okay. Now, what is the Kanada's view that we'll see now? What is the view of Kanada Rishi, isn't it? So, according to Kanada also, there are actually 9 substances. So, here what happened, what is the Kanada's view? There are 9 substances. Of them, of the 9, what are the 5 elements? Atma, mind, time, and direction. Panchabhutani, kalaha, dik, atma, manaha. Totally 9. Of the 9, these 2 things, 2 factors are to come together. What are they? Atma and mind. The 2 factors, the combination of 2 factors combine together and produce consciousness. Atma and mind come together and produce consciousness. For them, that is his view. Which means, what Atma becomes what now? Atma becomes the property here. How do you understand Atma is the property here? For him, Atma is the property. 2 properties, there are 9 properties. The 2 properties, the specific 2 properties have to come together to produce consciousness. Therefore, Atma becomes what now? The property. One of the properties is Atma here. One of the 9 properties is Atma. Like what, how do you know here? You know? Like how, when you say Neelaha Ghataha, a blue pot. You know, tall man, Unnataha Purushaha, a tall man. Okay, the consciousness become the product of the property here. Isn't it? Attribute here. I'll tell you how. The tall man, therefore it's abstract. Suppose tallness is what now? Tallness is the abstract noun, isn't it? Of the property, of the attribute. Tallness, fatness, blueness, etc. Like that, consciousness is also what now? No, abstract noun, which is product of the property. And what is the property here? One property cannot do that. 2, mind and here, Atma, together, come together. Then they produce the consciousness. That is why only when the mind must be there, then consciousness is produced. So whenever there's mind is not there, there's no consciousness. Atma becomes what? Jadam again. Atma is a property, is inert matter. Okay? And this mind all is what now? Inert. 2 inert properties are there. Atma and mind. And these 2 inert properties, when they come together, when the mind is come together, then they produce what? Consciousness. So consciousness becomes what now? The attribute. It's an abstract noun. Like how the man is endowed with the tall man means the tallness is not separate from the tall man. Similarly, consciousness is not separate from what? Separate from the Atma. It's a property. And what I'm saying? It's a property. Therefore, it isn't, suppose now consciousness of the Atma becomes produced when in the combination of the mind, in association with the mind. A mind property, Atma property come together, then the consciousness is produced. Therefore, consciousness becomes what now? Property of the Atma, which is there only when there is the mind association. So whenever the mind is not there, consciousness is not there, Atma remains as jadam. In sleep, every day, why are you jadam? Because in sleep, that is somewhere some little thing is there, isn't it? Mind-Atma connection is not there. Therefore, what is not produced? Consciousness is not produced. Very interesting thing, isn't it? Therefore, he says here, therefore, consciousness is, it becomes the property, and therefore, generally, any adjective which describes a person, describes a thing is what? A property only. Such as tallness, shortness, fatness, thinness, etc. Therefore, this consciousness is also what? Now, an abstract noun. Like, other things. And we say, therefore it is what? Now, consciousness is a generated property. It is produced property. And to produce this, how is it produced? Just as light is now, just as light is produced. Where? In the filament. If there is a bulb, and light is the light is a produced thing in the filament. So also, here consciousness also is a produced property. The produced thing, generated thing. And therefore it is what now? For which two things need to come together, which is Atma and mind. We say Atma is consciousness. And consciousness is the product of the Atma, which means Atma is jadam. Two properties, inert properties, come together to produce the Atma. Consciousness. Hope you don't get confused about it. Therefore, he says here, Atmanaha, see the next line now? Read it first now. Kanadanam, okay? Kanadanam, Atmanaha, Atma Manasayojaha. Tayoga jaha bodaha. Kanadanam means the people, the followers of Kanada matam, the Vaiseshika matam, for them, Atma mana sayoga jaha bodaha. What is knowledge here? No, bodaha, the consciousness here, the consciousness. Here the word bodha means consciousness, the awareness. Samyoga jaha. Jaha means it's a produced, born of. Consciousness is the product or born of the samyoga, association of Atma and the mind. Which means Atma is one of the nine properties. Nine substances, we can say. Atma mana sanyoga jaha bodaha. Atma mana sanyoga tu jayate iti atmana sanyoga jaha. And atmani samavaiti. Therefore, Atma Hamavaiti, this consciousness becomes what now? Becomes the product of Atma. Atma is Hamavaiti, like how? Sama Eva Yeti means it becomes the product of Atma. It is becomes the something which is the property of the Atma. Atma Hamavaiti. Ataha, therefore, Atmani Bodhrutvam. Therefore, there is both, what are the status of being the knower. Therefore, the status of being the knower for the Atma. So, Atma with the mind produces consciousness. Therefore, Atma has the status of being the knower. Nandatu Vikriyatmaka Atma. So, both Rutu. The refutation comes. So, according to Kanada, like the Bhartru Prapancha, you know, also Atma is also what now? Inert matter only. For him, everything is matter. They did not talk about the consciousness at all. For both of them, consciousness is something produced later on. What is the first thing then? First, matter becomes the first eternal stuff, substance. And consciousness is something which comes later. Like the modern scientist. For them, that's why they want to know they think again, they go for the what is subtler than this, what is subtler than this. The research is still on, you know, what is the matter, what is the actual original matter. What is the original matter, still research is going on. Why? Because for the matter is the foremost entity. Consciousness came only later on. And the same way is Kanada Rishi and also Bhartru Prapancha. But the way they put it is different, isn't it? So what will be the defects? That's a different thing. So this, for him, when he says Atma is something, he uses the term Atma, the self is something, uses the term Atma. And even though the word Atma, you can't even get the meaning of the word Atma. Suppose Atma, why the self is known by the term Atma? The very meaning of the word, you have to take it. Atma means Sarvam Apnoti iti Atma. That which pervades everything is Atma. That which pervades everything means what? It must be the subtlest. Subtlest means, which is the innermost means, this Atma, the all-pervasive Atma, and what is it? It is only the one of the nine substances. And this particular, not the elements are different. Look at this, elements are different. Time, kalaha, dik, directions. Seven, Atma Manaha. Of the thing, only these two, Atma and Manaha alone, have to come together. So, Atma Mana Samyoge Bodaha Jayate. So, consciousness or awareness is born of the association of Atma and mind. Therefore, Atma is not consciousness. Atma is endowed with the consciousness, which is producible only when it is in association with the mind. Now, what will be the defect? So, whenever the tall person dies, tallness will disappear. So, whenever there is mind goes, Atma becomes what again? Jadam, property, and consciousness also will perish.
consciousness perishes every time Atma becomes Jadam. Atma becomes Jadam whenever the mind is not there. Whenever the Atma cannot associate itself with the mind, whenever the mind is not available, then consciousness also goes, then Atma remains as Jadam. Therefore, in sleep, every day, we become Jadam. We become Jadam. Atma becomes Jadam. Therefore, we are all like Jadam. This Kanada, Kanada's view. Therefore, Ataha Atmani Bhoktrutvam Natu Vikriyatma Nanu Vikriyatmaka Atma Dravya Matrastu Bhavati Ghataha Iva Raga Samavayi. He says Vikriyatmakaha Atma. So even Bodhrutvam, that means the knowing, isn't it? Even the awareness, the capacity to know also goes. Then Vikriyatmakaha Atma. Atma is something subject to change. Why? Because Dravya Matraha Bhavati. Atma also becomes the mere inert matter only for them. Ghataha Iva. Like how any pot etc., which has certain attributes, which are all just mere material, so also Atma is what now? Something which is the matter. There also all those problems will come. If Atma is taken as the Dravyam, what all the problems will be there? Same, he says, Asmin Pakshe Api Achetanam, the Raga Samavaya, I'll explain again, I'll come back to that. Asmin Pakshe Api Achetanam Dravya Matram Brahma. Asmin Pakshe means what now? Asmin Pakshe, even in his view also. Pakshaha means here, this party, this part. Asmin Pakshe, even in this view of Kanada, Achetanam Dravya Matram Brahma. Brahman is what now? The reality is insentient, and matter only, Dravya Matram. Insentient matter alone is the Brahma. What is Brahman according to him? Insentient matter is the reality. If that is so, then what happens? Vijnanam Anandam Brahma. What does Shruti say? Vijnanam Brahma, Anandam Brahma. Ityadyaha Shrutayaha Baditaha Syuhu. It really contradicts such view of Kanada Rishi, contradicts the Vedantic statements such as Brahman is what? We say Vijnanam Brahma. Pure knowledge is reality. Pure consciousness is reality. You know, and that pure consciousness, which is the nature of fullness, is the reality. Limitless reality. These are all the statements of the Veda, and his Vedantic statements become Badhitaha, means they become contrast, they become really contradicted. Badhitaha Bhavanti. They are affected, means what? They become contradicted. By this view does not go with the Vedantic Upanishadic statements which define the nature of reality. See, your view
does not contradict the vision of the Shastram, what the Shastram says. Isn't it? That's different. But it contradicts the vision of the Shastram. What is the vision of? In vision of the Shastram, Brahman is consciousness. Vijnanam Brahma. Brahman, consciousness is Brahman there. Is it? But here, consciousness is not the Brahman. Here, what Dravyam is the Brahman. Atma is Dravyam, Dravyam Brahma is the Brahman. And we say, there is no second thing other than consciousness. There is no second other than consciousness. And he talks about 9 properties apart from, 8 more apart from the Atma. Atma is, that means, every element becomes independent entity. Every element becomes independent entity. Mind becomes an independent entity. Atma is another independent entity. All the 9 independent entities. No? But 9 means. So Atma is one of the 9. Which means the jadam, the inert matter. Which means Atma, this Dravya, Atma is this Atma, according to him, as a matter, we have to subject to change. We have to apply the same thing here. So in this paksha also, Asmin Pakshe, in his view also, there's not a big difference. You know, same thing. He makes Atma the matter. See, if you all understand all these different schools of philosophy, who claim Atma to be just the matter only. All of them say, for the matter is the original reality. And consciousness is only, later on, it is only is something product of the matter. And product of the matter, or some property of the matter. Whereas here we say consciousness is not the product, not the property, not the part. And for them, consciousness is the part, property, product of the matter. Completely different. And consciousness is the only reality, we say, and here consciousness is one of the existing thing, material things. Actually they say Atma. Isn't it? There's no consciousness, doesn't come at all there. The consciousness is only something which is produced. Therefore he says, Asmin Pakshe Api Achetanam Dravyamatram Brahma Iti. Okay, Dravyamatram Brahma, the insentient, inert matter alone is Brahma, in this view, all in this, in Kanada's view also. Therefore, such a statement, such view of Atma, what happens? Vijnanam Anandam Brahma Ityadyaha Shrutayaha Baditaha Syuhu. Therefore, it contradicts the actual statements of Vedantic statements of Vedantic statements defining the nature of Brahman. That the particular one thing, one line, Atmani Bodhrutu, after that, Vikriyatmaka Atma Dravyamatrastu Bhavati Ghata Iva Ragasamavaya, I'll explain later on when you finish this particular thing. Then Atmanaha Nir Avayavatvena Pradesha Abhavat Nitya Sanyuktatvatcha Manasaha Smriti Utpatti Niyama Anupapatti Pariharya Syat. Parihati Upatti Apariharya Syat. I'll repeat again. Atmanaha Niravayatvena Niravayavatvena Pradesha Abhavat Nitya Samyuktatvat Pradesha Abhavat
nitya sanyuktatvat cha manasaha smriti utpatti niyama smriti utpatti niyama anupapatti anupattihi aparihariyasyat. See, atmanaha niravayavatvena. Niravayavaha means atma is partless. Partless. Niravayavatvena, due to his partlessness, which is therefore indivisible nature, what happens now? Pradesha abhavat. Pradesha abhavaha means what now? There's a particular place where atma is locatable. Pradesha abhavat. Then, manasaha nitya sanyuktatvat. It's ever, nitya sanyuktam is what now? It's ever inseparable. Nitya sanyuktam. See, consciousness and mind are in this mind, okay, we say consciousness. According to Kannada, consciousness is not there, isn't it? Something called Atma. Something called Atma, and which is there, which is in association with the mind, produces consciousness. Therefore, nitya sanyuktatvat. So here we say, mind, here Atma and mind are united here for him. But what do we say? Why only Atma? For Atma being non-locatable, partless, all-pervasive consciousness, nothing is away from consciousness, isn't it? Not only the mind. See, mind also is inseparable from... Here, this particular point, you stop it here. You remember Kannada's views, what I said. Stop here and understand this. See, what is account in Advaita Vedanta? Consciousness is the only reality when you say it is also eternal, also all-pervasive. Eternal, all-pervasive. Being eternal, it is unchangeable. And being all-pervasive, it is non-locatable. It's not a given place where you can locate the Atma. So, all-pervasiveness implies non-locatability. And then timelessness implies the eternity implies what now? Timelessness. Isn't it changelessness also? Change means it goes and comes and something goes and something comes. The changelessness also. Therefore, the changeless, all-pervasive, timeless reality, Atma, being the only secondless reality, we say nothing is away from Atma. The gross or the subtle. There's a particular time when Atma comes in association with that. The other time Atma goes away somewhere. Atma is not there. You know what I'm saying? So Atma, which means nitya sanyuktam, not only with the mind Atma is connected, Atma is inseparably there with everything as very existence. Like how with every wave there is water. In every wave there is water is never separable. Similarly, consciousness is never separable from anything here. All the forms, different forms, the different names, different textures, different status, all of them are in and through pervaded by all-pervasive reality, the Atma, the consciousness, isn't it? But you use the term Atma only as a self. It's spread everywhere. But when Atma is not the Jadam, for us consciousness is like the Jadam when it is non-recognizable. Not the Jadam, not inert matter, isn't it? If it is non-available for recognition, when it is non-transactable, it is like the Jadam only, but not the Jadam. That is why in sleep, we are all like Jadam. We are all like inert bundle of matter only. We are sleeping. Why? Because it doesn't mean consciousness is inert.
Consciousness is consciousness. It can never become inert matter. Only thing is, if it is non-transactable, it is like the Jadam. Non-transactability is when only when the medium of transaction is not available. Then it is non-recognizable. Non-recognizability only, I am saying, is what? Non-transactability. But it is not Jadam, it is like the Jadam. Avyakta Chaitanyam is what? Like the Jadam. Okay, unmanifest consciousness is like the non-recognizable consciousness, is like the Jadam. But manifest consciousness, okay, we say that Vyakta Chaitanyam is what now? Being recognizable, it is seen differently, understood differently. But Avyakta Chaitanyam, being non-recognizable, is like the Jadam. But really speaking, no, or it is not separable from any object. It is ever, the Sanyuktatvam. Sanyuktatvam means ever inseparably, the inseparability of consciousness from everything is always there. Never is it separable. Whether it is an insentient stone or a live sentient tree or a sentient insect or worm or a sentient human physical form, in everything it is inseparably there. Always there. Sada, sada, always and sarvatra. We have to understand this also. Consciousness is always there, everywhere there. Inseparably from everything. Being manifest recognizably, being not manifest, non-recognizably, consciousness is. Recognizably, consciousness is. Non-recognizably, consciousness is. Inseparably, okay, inseparably, it is there. Whether it is manifest or unmanifest. Everywhere, always. Therefore, his view becomes what now? This Atma is inseparable from the mind, and because of this inseparability of the Atma and the mind, there is a product of consciousness. But whenever the mind resolves, then Atma loses its association with the mind. Therefore, there is no consciousness. So what is consciousness now? Consciousness therefore is something which is a property of the Atma. Consciousness is not the Atma, property of the Atma. So which means Atma is dependent on the mind to produce the consciousness. Atma independent, Atma is not the independent entity. Therefore, Atmanaha samyogajaha bodaha Atmani samaveti. Samaveti, the consciousness comes into existence. Samaveti comes into existence. How? In oneself. How? Because of the association of the mind, the consciousness comes into existence being born of the mind and the association of the Atma with the mind. Atma mana sanyogajaha bodha atma samaveti ataha atmani bodhrutvam. Therefore, that is what now? That is that status of being the knower also comes for the Atma. When it is associated with the mind, when it produces the consciousness. Suppose Atma does not produce consciousness, there is no production of consciousness because of association of Atma with the mind, then there cannot be knowership. there cannot be the knower. The knower can be there only if there is consciousness born of the Atma's association with the mind. Okay? If this is so, then Atma becomes something which is subject to change. And then Atma becomes something which all the defects which we applied previously, we had to bring those defects here also. All the defects we saw earlier, same vikriyatmakaha, sa avayavaha, anityaha, ashuddhaha, ityadeha doshaha, na parihartam shakyante. The same defects come here also. If we take Atma as the inert matter. Is it clear? So with this Kanada's view, this is Kanada's view, but how Shankara is going to refute these both the views, he'll going to present now both of them separately, and he'll be very briefly present. The Shankara's refutation of these two views, it really is going to be useful for us. These views are confusing for us. Not confusing. It's not necessary, isn't it? Already we are trying to understand something very clearly. So Shankara's vision must be very clear. Only then we can see this without getting confused. We can just see that, their views. No question today? Because Kanna has had to be understood. And then Shankara's reputation we'll see later on.
According to him, then the consciousness also is inert and it has no substantiality. If Atma and mind produces the consciousness.
No, he does not talk about the. See, for them Atma is separate entity.
Yes.
In separate entity means one of the nine substances. And therefore, Atma is not consciousness.
No. That, what I mean is, he says that the combination of Atma.
No, consciousness is something that which comes and goes, which cannot exist independently.
But according to them, is it not that the Atma and mind coming together produces the consciousness?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if that is so, then according to them, the consciousness also is
inert.
Is inert.
Yeah, when the karanam is inert, karyam also is inert. That's there. For them, there's only. Even though it inert say that consciousness must be inert, that's how Shankara is going to say that actually. But for them, consciousness is something which is a product of matter. That's why they say, according to them, consciousness is temporary, it's not permanent. Consciousness is not eternal. It comes and goes. Then the time-bound consciousness, the temporarily, it's some situation, some sort of, some condition, they call it, talk about a condition. In a given condition, consciousness comes, and in a given condition, consciousness goes. And the conducive condition must be there for it to come. And that is, we say, you know, mind and Atma are together. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.